reborn out of disaster, four survivors rose again to form a legion of the world's strangest heroes. Da-da-da-doom Patrol!
Once again to the Doom Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Scott Coles, and with me, as always,
is Murray Fox. And this week we are looking at Doom Patrol number 51 from sometime, somewhen. I'd tell you, but I don't have the issue in front of me.
Cover date January 92.
There you go. 92.
Mm-hmm.
An excellent year for so many things.
Now, I just noticed that we finally have the suggested for mature readers about the insignia here. I wonder how long that's been going on. I see it was on 50 as well.
Huh.
But before that, I'm not sure. I don't have the issues handy.
I wonder.
Oh, yeah, there it is. It's as far back as 37.
I want to say...
Actually, 37 might have been the first one. Because that was sort of an introductory style issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The mathematicians and all that stuff. The yes. Anathematicians.
Yes, those guys. Don't bring them up. Don't bring those dudes up. I'll have to talk about them. Let's see. Was it on issue 34? No, 24? No. What's their first one? 19.
The first one is 19, yeah.
And it... I don't think it appears to be there, unless it's in teeny tiny print.
Hmm.
Huh. When did this book get mature?
I don't know.
That's okay. At some point it did. Totally. Totally, they'll let us know.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we have a cover. This is not by our usual cover artist. This cover is done by Mike Sikowski.
Seriously? Yeah. Cool.
And actually, it was originally intended to be a cover for Doom Patrol, or for Showcase number 50 way back in the day.
Wow.
But it, for whatever reason, didn't make it. The inside story of DC's Fighting Master of Disguise was canceled. And the new King Faraday stories were put in.
Huh. Interesting.
John Dandy may have inspired the Unknown Soldier.
Really?
But the genuine Yankee Doodle never saw print until today. So if, in case you haven't guessed from that, we are going to be introduced to Professor John Dandy, archaeologist to Yankee Doodle, Master of Disguise. Now, the interesting thing is he's, you know, sort of this nondescript brown-haired dude. He's got a little beard and glasses. And he sprays himself in the face with this stuff. And his face goes all question, Mike. Like blank.
Like the character question. Okay.
Yeah. And then he puts the disguise on, I guess.
Interesting.
The cover blurb is, the name Yankee Doodle strikes fear into the hearts of enemy agents everywhere. I'm sure it does. Yankee Doodle, master of disguise, secret agent extraordinary who always leaves a feather for his foes.
I am shivering even as you speak.
I know. Just, hey, there's a guy attacking another guy who looks just like him. And one of the crooks is like, the boss is being attacked by... The boss? One of them must be Yankee Doodle.
Excellent.
So we open with a sort of a recap of what's going on from a... what appears to be a newscaster of some sort. Basically covering what Mr. Nobody and the Brotherhood of Dada are up to with their Dada party.
That's right.
Their election campaign. Despite almost constant harassment by law enforcement officials and violinists.
You gotta watch out for the violinists.
So they're now traveling in a bus, which it simulates the effect of a powerful hallucinogen. Causing chaos in several states. So, but it turns out that there's actually a sort of a grassroots following. People are into what Mr. Nobody is dishing out.
Oh, yeah.
Skewed Zen logic, jarring music, and outlandish, often openly sexual imagery are more popular than MTV. America can't get enough of these zany pranksters and the breath of fresh air they brought to an otherwise predictable political scene. This is Peter Kettle for Hey! All right, fella, let's go. You're being taken off the air. And it turns out the dude's just walking around with a TV box on his head. He's got no pants on. And everybody's like, boo, leave him alone, boo, fascists.
That's right. He's wearing something.
The cop is like, is this whole country going crazy or what? And we turn the page and we get the magic bus. It's your average yellow school bus, but it's got flowers and hearts and rainbows and all sorts of hippy, dippy, trippy crap. It looks like Bury Your Shorts, Murray.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
I like the bus already.
Mm-hmm. The art this issue is Richard Case again, with Stan Watch inking most of it. Richard Case jumping in to ink some, and Mark McKenna jumping in to ink some.
Ooh, we got a
triple threat. Turns out that they've hooked up the bike to the bus. So basically, you just pedal the bike and the bus goes. And so, therefore, when the bus goes, it causes all the hallucinations and trippage and...
And crazy.
So Mr. Nobody is biking along in there. And Love Glove asks if he wants a turn, if he needs a break. He's like, no, he's loving it. He's having a great time. He looks to the back of the bus, strewn about with toys and all sorts of stuff. Toys and records and comic books all over the aisleway. And there's Agent... What's his name? Agent Exclamation.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he's got a seemingly unconscious guy in his clutches. What about this guy who came to interview you? He's like, go through his pockets, take anything interesting, and throw him off the bus. That'll teach him to ask me about my plans to add an extra inch and a half to rulers.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're going to go find a TV station. We cut to Danny the Street. Cliff and Jane are walking down the street, and he's... Cliff's asking if Danny's okay. Danny says via sign, Bona, which I assume means good.
Bona.
It's the old Polare we used in Soho in the 50s so the straights wouldn't know what we were saying. Says the I Speak Your Weight machine on Danny the Street.
There you go.
Bona means good. Bona Tovada means good to see you. And Bona La means goodbye, etc., etc.
Wow.
Yes, there you go. Edutainment.
That's right.
So, Jane's like, he's worried that the Brotherhood of Dada did something terrible when they hijacked you. He worries about things like that, Danny. I'm just like, well, yeah, well, someone has to. And he picks up a card off the street, and it says, no need to worry about old Danny. I've been around a bit, you know. I thought the Brotherhood of Dada were a lovely bunch, always laughing and joking. They'd put a smile on anyone's eek. Mine, too, if I had one. Eek? What's eek mean? The sign on the window says, face, dear. No kidding. You learn something new and dumb every day. From inside one of the buildings, someone says, won't you just say something? It's Josh talking to Dorothy Spinner, who's been having issues with her powers and the things that come of them. Josh is saying, well, you know, I can't help you unless you tell me what's going on. He's like, are you still scared of what happened in the Pentagon? Talk to me, eh? Okay, if you change your mind, I'm here. And just as he leaves, she goes, yeah. she opens up her, armoire.
Oh, yes.
And there's that dude with the candles on his head. Oh. And she's like, and she closes it and then opens it back up again, and it's just clothes. She's very terrified and crying. We cut to the Pentagon. And we have, what's his name, Major Honey?
Yes.
Oh, no, this is a different dude. This is Major Maine.
Ooh.
Major Maiden, a woman who is, her name is apparently Ms. Roddick.
Excellent.
So they're talking about the Brotherhood of Dada. They're not sure how they're going to deal with them. And he's like, didn't this Brotherhood of Dada transform a police officer into a toilet in France a couple years back? What happened to him, Ms. Roddick? She says, as far as I know, he's hanging in the Boulevard Gallery. Apparently, there are no laws against aging people or turning them into toilets.
Well, to be fair, she's probably very correct on that. I mean, you know.
And he says, well, surely you can pick them up on illegal use of narcotics. It turns out they're riding these big rubber balls, bouncy balls with horses' heads. Actually, his has a horse head and hers has an elephant head. So actually, his is probably a donkey's head now that I think of it.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, donkeys, elephants, that whole thing. Yeah,
yes.
And she says, they're doing it with a bicycle, Major, a bicycle that simulates the effects of LSD. Do we make bicycles illegal? So why have you come, then? She says, fight fire with fire, Major Maine. We want to use John Dandy. Dun, dun, dun. We cut to a television station, WZGT. And they sort of go storming in. Malcolm gives him a bucket. It's a bucket with flowers on it and filled with, I don't know what, stickers, I guess. He says, ah, good afternoon. We've come to cover the entire floor space in this building with Partridge Family decals. It's a filthy, filthy job, but someone has to do it. And while we're at it, we'd like you to broadcast this. He gives him a tape. He's like, I think I can't do that, sir. You're going to have to step outside. And all of a sudden, Alias the Blur grabs him and ages his clothes into dust. Now he's all naked.
Uh-oh.
So his partner's security guard. Meanwhile, Love Glove's got a video camera documenting the whole thing.
Excellent.
His partner pulls a gun. He's like, hey, that's it. This has gone far enough. And Mr. Nobody says, hey, disagree and tie-o-y. Bobby, the glove. And all of a sudden the shove glove comes out and it goes into his shirt. And it's tickling him, I guess. Pushes him out of the way. They get in the elevator and then Bobby whistles for the glove and it comes out and zoop, flies into the elevator. And they go up. So here is Mr. Nobody's spiel, I guess. Fellow Americans, I hear your tambourines inside my head, and that's no lie. But don't just take my word for it. Let's hear what the man on the street has to say about the Brotherhood of Dada party. Let's ignore the college boys in their Armani diapers and hear instead of an authentic voice of working America. Okay, so we get this, your average-looking Joe Schmo American. Says he's my kind of guy. He takes no bullshit, you know what I'm saying? For too long in this country, we've had Z-holes at the top. Guys who do nothing but play, take vacations, and golf when it gets tough. One thing about Mr. Nobody and the Brotherhood of Dada, they play golf like John Kennedy survives assassination attempts, you know what I'm saying? Straight up. I ain't denying that America's got a lot of problems, but so what? We also got one hell of a lot of little silver paper balls lying around, and that's something to be proud of, whatever the liberal establishment says. That's why I'm voting for nobody. The people's choice. Say it loud and say it proud. Nobody for president. As this goes on, the camera slowly pans away from him, and you see that he's wearing a straitjacket and scrubs, and he's in a corner of a padded room filled with stuffed animals. Nobody pops in and says, don't worry, viewers. This man has been portrayed by an actor. In real life, he's as sane as you or I.
Sure he is. No worries.
Nobody says, Christmas every day. God bless us one and all. Dada, hey, you know it makes absolutely no sense. And Agent Exclamation and Love Glover throwing artificial snow in the air. And he's got a Santa hat on. We cut to a TV screen with Mr. Nobody on it. And Jane and Robot Man are watching it. He's looking at him. How is he getting away with this stuff? What are we going to do about it? She says, I think he's good. This whole thing's a dumb circus anyway. At least he's admitting it. When's the last time we had a president that wasn't rotten to the core? Some of them just disguise it better, that's all. I'd vote for Mr. Nobody any day. So here we start to see that maybe, just maybe, Cliff is barking up the wrong tree, wanting to stay the status quo as it is. He may in fact be alone in that thought on this team of weirdos. But that's generally the way it goes for him, right? He's the sort of straight man.
Yes.
Everything after basically the original Doom Patrol series.
Yeah, he's totally the normal Joe in the series.
Cuckoo Factory.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so we cut back to the TV, and Mr. Nobody's like, how much is the dollar worth in your pocket? I bet that's a question you've all been asking yourselves. But what exactly is a dollar bill? A promissory note, a scrap of colored paper with no intrinsic value of its own, that's all. However, this piece of paper can be exchanged for goods or services to the value of $1. Agreed? Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. This bill has been signed by Andy Warhol, making it a pop art original. What if I tell you that, as a Warhol original, this piece of paper can now be taken to an art gallery and exchanged there for another piece of paper, a check, which can then be exchanged for several thousands of pieces of paper just like the first one. Excited? But take a look. Take a closer look. This signature is a crude forgery. I can almost hear your heart sinking as the stars in your eyes go out, but wait. What if I tell you the Warhol signature was forged by none other than Pablo Picasso. Just how much do you think this piece of paper is worth now? And he rips it up into little pieces. Any ideas? The Brotherhood of Data. Economic policies are us. That's a robot man going, how is he getting away with this? We cut to the magic bus sitting in front of a toy store. And, Mr. Nobody's dressed up in a Santa suit, so he's like this big fat Santa body with his weird skinny black head and a big beard mustache. Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, everyone! Merry Christmas! It's Christmas every day with the Brotherhood of Data. And the toy store owner's like, hey, put those toys down! You can't give them away! The kids are crying now because Santa gave them toys and this guy's trying to take them back. He's like, I don't know who the hell you are, but the police are on their way. He's like, I'm Santa Claus, and you just ruined the magic of Christmas for these children and instilled in them a lifelong hatred of authority. Well done. Suddenly the horn of the bus goes off, the police are coming, so they jump in the bus and scoot away. And as they scoot away, the police are chasing them, but all they can see is, like, trippy lights, and it looks like they're running through the time stream in the Legion of Superheroes. or perhaps facing the Doctor Who intro on their windshield. Like, ooh, we should pull over. What are we doing chasing these guys anyway? Life's too short when you come to think about it. It's like, what's the point of it all? Turn that goddamn radio off and let's have some music. I want to dance!
Of course you do. Who doesn't?
That's how they escaped. We come to a pitch black page. Six panels of pitch black and word balloons. That's it. So it's Major Ian and Miss Rock. They are in some secret, super, super secret corridor underneath the Pentagon. Are you okay now?
Oh, oh yeah, no, I'm good.
I just heard your family in the background there.
Oh, no, it's all good. Yeah. They're all good.
He says, the strange thing about these corridors under the Pentagon, Ms. Ruddock, is that there are always two people walking through them talking. The names may change, but the same story is played out again and again. So this is actually similar to the last time we saw under the Pentagon where Major Honey and Corporal Washington, was it? Sergeant Washington?
I think so. I think it was Washington. Yeah.
Where they were going down into the underbelly of the Pentagon.
Deep underneath. Poor old Washington was having a tough time with that one.
So apparently they have agents working on getting close to the Brotherhood, trying to insinuate themselves into their daily living. They're hoping to target the English boy with the glove. They think he's the weak link. She wants to put the lights on. He says, the lights actually are on. We had to introduce temporary blindness before passing through the vault. If you caught even a glimpse of what's in this room, well, without the proper level of security clearance, you'd lose your mind in seconds. The blindness will wear off in a few minutes when you're safely through. Cut back to Danny in the fancy rifle shop. Cliff is laying out a plan. So apparently there's going to be a big rally tomorrow in Washington. They figure Dada's going to be there. Danny can take us there tonight. We can check it out and be ready when they arrive. And Jane says, no, Cliff. Sorry, I'm not going to fight them. Hey, wait a minute. What are you saying? I'm not going to fight them. Well, it doesn't have to be a fight. We just have to immobilize the bus and prevent them from causing more chaos. Rebus says, I'm afraid not. I won't be able to help you, Cliff. I'm planning to leave now, you see. It's time. Time for what? What the hell are you talking about? Time for the Enigma Regis to unfold, and my life cycle must take precedence over the work of the Doom Patrol. Robot Man is upset. I can't believe I'm hearing this.
He's always the last to know.
I know, eh? The Brotherhood of Data rampaging across America on a psychedelic bus, tripping out whole cities at a time when we're not going to do anything? Jane says, why should we? Because if we don't, then the Brotherhood is right and there's no point. No point to anything. I can't live like that. I'm going out there. The rest of you can do what you want. Josh says, give me a minute, I'll come with you. He's like, whatever.
There you go, Josh. He steps up.
Oh, yeah. So we cut to, I guess the Brotherhood are camping out. Bus there in the woods. They're around a fire. They're cooking marshmallows. Except, looks like the fire might be made of old boots and stuff. I'm not sure. So Love Glove wanders off into the woods. Maybe he's going to the bathroom. I don't know. And he's just enjoying the night and singing to himself. And suddenly he comes across this girl. This beatnik girl. She's got Google Check shorts.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. And smoking a cigarette. She's definitely his type, apparently. She says, hi, honey. Cut back to one of the Pentagon. We get a sort of recap of... Well, we get a little story about Dandy. She says, can we trust him? That's like asking if you can trust a hurricane, Miss Rock. You point him in the right direction and hope to God that when the shit stops flying, the enemy is in worse shape than you are. I guess they sort of say, you know, he was a special agent who was master disguise, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, became attached to the Pentagon's unusual operatives division. Men from nowhere, the sex men, the dust devils. Those sort of folks.
Yes.
So he synthesized a special gas which solidified on contact with air into a kind of malleable super skin. The gas cartridges could be stored in an ordinary ballpoint pen. So then he could, you know, make a new face. So using the code name Yankee Doodle, he went out there and kicked ass for Uncle Sam. No problem. But then there was someone freaked out and went down into the city and took some sensitive documents with him. So somebody had to go down there after him, and Dandy volunteered. It was a clear case of curiosity killed the cat. They sent him down to the White Abyss and waited. Garbled radio messages, enormous structures walking, people and things with tunnels instead of eyes, and then they lost all contact. And when he came up again, basically his head's all messed up, and he insisted he swapped his original face for this new thing. Well, he did something to the two of the soldiers. It's where he lives now. Put your glasses on and try to show no fear. So they go into this room. It's all messy and there's toilet paper all over the place. It's like, where is he? He's just crawling around. Turns out he's up on the ceiling, like Spider-Man. And he's got this really weird, goofy face. Like, it's made up of... His face is blank, but he's got, like, two drawer handles for ears. It looks like a pair of mismatched-sized googly eyes. For eyes. A comb for a mouth. And the letter Q from a Scrabble set as a nose. And circling him sort of in a sort of aura are seven disembodied heads in various stages of screaming. He says, "Ah, visitors." And that's the end.
Whoosh. Crazy.
He's a creepy looking dude. Especially with the whole no face, pretend face thing. He's like a Mr. Potato Head gone horribly wrong.
Huh. There might be a market for that.
Maybe, I don't know. Are your kids very strange a beard? Here's the Mr. Potato Head for you.
That's right. That's right. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, there we go. That brings us to the end of another Doom Patrol issue. And if you want to send us an email, you can send it to us at doompodtroll@gmail.com, or you can visit our website, which is also doompodtroll.com, and you can comment on any one of the episodes that are up there.
Woo!
Yeah.
Do so. It's awesome.
You should. We'd love it. Alrighty. We will catch you all next week.
Oh, yeah.